It's a great day today. We are glad to announce our new head coach on Monday. When we started this search, we looked for a recruiter, a leader, and a winner, a relentless recruiter, a values-based leader, and someone who would build on the foundation that Coach Harvey has established and others before him. And before we get into Coach Dubs's comments, I want to say a sincere thank you to Coach Harvey. Fred Harvey is just a phenomenal, caring individual who made a lasting impact on our track program and in our athletic department. So I'm very thankful for all that Coach Harvey has done for us, and looking forward to seeing our track program, like I said, build on his incredible foundation. So when we started this search, like I mentioned, we were looking for a relentless recruiter, a winner, and a values-based leader. And for us, a values-based, our values are high character, and character for us is selfless, smart, hardworking. High character, low ego, high outcome and energy. We also spoke with our student athletes and talked with them in terms of the character, the characteristics they were looking for their head coach. They were looking for, quite simply, a strong communicator who is competitive, ambitious, and organized. They were looking for an elite recruiter with high expectations for all event groups and makes athletes feel supported and confident. And in Coach Andrew Dubs, we found exactly that leader. We had a competitive process, but Coach Dubs shined through. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Coach Andrew Dubs to give some opening remarks.
Thank you, Desiree, and good morning, everybody. Nice to meet you all virtually and look forward to meeting you in person here soon. I just want to start by thanking Desiree, Will, and the entire search committee. This process has been just fantastic, getting to know everybody, learn about Desiree and Will's and their goals and aspirations for the program, what they're looking for moving forward. And the more and more I talk with them and the committee, I just got more and more excited about Arizona track and field and cross country, and you know what the future can be. I really think it's cliche to say, but the sky is the limit. You know, the resources we have for track and field, the in terms of what Arizona is with the brand, you know, we really can be successful across the board in all events here at Arizona, and that's what we're looking to do. I want to thank my fiance Sarah. She has been incredibly supportive throughout this entire process, and I would have not, excuse me, I would have not been able to go through it without her. It's just been incredible, her support. I want to thank Whit Babcock, Chris Helms, and Dave Cinelli over at Virginia Tech. Those three have been instrumental in my career and the growth that I've had. Standing side by side with Dave Cinelli the last 7, 8 years, I've learned more and than I could have even asked for. Not just as a head coach who's my boss, but somebody who's a mentor and a lifelong friend. It's been remarkable. I'd like to thank all the student athletes that I've worked with over the years at all the schools I've been at. From each of you, I've learned something and have been able to take that and grow throughout my career. I just wanted to get into kind of the reason why I do what I do. You know, you initially get into coaching at the beginning in the early stages. I was a young graduate assistant, and you know, I just wanted to win. And that's all I thought it was about. Nothing else mattered. I started as a graduate assistant at Auburn University, and back in 2011, or excuse me, 2010, and they had just won a national championship a couple of years prior. So I always thought, okay, that's my goal the rest of my life, my career. And as I've progressed throughout my career, that has never wavered. That fire has never wavered. But what I've added is the impact that you can have on people's lives. You know, the ability to connect with young people and the relationships that you can build, that's to me almost more important than the winning, because you know that impact will go beyond the track. It'll go beyond the playing field. It's something that'll last the next 40 or 50 years of their lives. And to me, that passion is what drives me. So with that said, you know, my vision for this program is we're going to win, and we're going to win at the highest level. We're going to have very high expectations. We're going to be ambitious, and we're going to get after it. I think that with what Arizona is on the surface, You know, we have an incredible opportunity to really take this program to the next level. We're going to be highly competitive in everything that we do. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, but we're going to be highly competitive. And we're going to build a great team culture. I think that should not be overlooked. We are an individual sport in some senses, but I think that the team culture is instrumental. When I was a student athlete myself, we won 3 Big East championships while I was at UConn. And only one of those was because we were the best team. The other two were simply because we just had the best chemistry, the best culture, everyone cheering other people on when you weren't competing. And I've held that with me throughout my entire career. We're going to build the program through recruiting. We're going to be relentless. We're going to build it to compete and win at the highest level at the NCAA national level. And those are the type of student athletes that we're going to look for. And then once they're here and once they're a Wildcat, we're going to build holistic student athletes. The student athlete experience is an incredible experience. And one that I think is something that will give the student athletes a broad understanding to move into the rest of their lives. And I'm just really excited to be here. And lastly, and I say this for last, I would love to thank Coach Fred Harvey. Coach Harvey has been just an icon in our sport across the country. What he's built here at Arizona over the last 38 years, it's a Hall of Fame worthy career. And you know, the lasting impact that he has left within the community in Tucson, the student athletes that he's worked with, not just in his event areas, but the entire program. You know, it's been a remarkable run, and I'm honored to be following in his footsteps, and look forward to learning from him and picking his brain throughout my time here in Tucson. So just want to thank everybody, and looking forward to meeting everyone.
Thank you, Coach. At this time, we will take questions from our media members in attendance. When doing so, please use the raise hand function on your Zoom to be recognized. We will start with Bruce Pascoe.
Andrew, I was just curious, I think you left Virginia Tech last summer, and I was curious what you've been doing this year. And I know you've got the USA track and field thing. I didn't know if you went further into that or if you've been doing anything else, and kind of how did this come about? Did you, following up on that, kind of how did you want to get back into full time with the college program?
Absolutely, Bruce. Thank you for the question. Like you said, I am head coach for the national team for the World University Games. We're actually heading over to Germany here at the end of July to compete. And I'm very, very excited about that. We've been building that roster. And that's one of the reasons why I left Virginia Tech at that time. The timing was just perfect. Dave Cinelli retired. Ben Thomas was hired and came in. And I was very fortunate that he did retain me. And I was able to make that decision on my own. I just thought at the timing of the transition with the World University Games coming up, I really wanted to focus on that. It's been a process. I was actually hired for the position in July of 2020, and then it was canceled twice with COVID. So to finally have that opportunity, I really wanted to maximize that. And then, you know, my desires and goals to get back into the collegiate side of things, go back to my why, you know, the impact and the relationships and the environment of college athletics, and to be around the student athletes, that's truly my passion. So it was perfect timing with everything.
So you're in Eugene now. Yes. And what's your role up there? Like, are you working with U of A athletes already, or observing, or are you working with your potential University Games athletes, or what's going on? I guess.
No, I'm here to just be the biggest Wildcat fan I can be. I had a chance to meet with some of the staff and meet with Coach Harvey and say hi to some of the athletes, but no, I'm just here to spectate. I'll have the best seat in the house. Showed up to my room yesterday, had a box of Arizona gear. So I'm ready to roll, and I'm just really excited to be a fan and let these athletes really, you know, have a great week. We've got a great group out here, 16 student athletes, couple relays. So I'm excited to watch.
And what, as far as your, what kind of things are you looking to do, in this initial transition? And, I didn't know the background of how, I know it's kind of complicated how sometimes the track and field programs run. Do you anticipate, hiring throughout at every discipline position, or retaining some people, or is that even something you've got to at this point?
I haven't gotten too far into it. I have begun evaluating the staff and evaluating the roster just to see where we're at. It's been a whirlwind of the last 48 hours, I would say, but I have begun that pro began that process. So I've met with some of the current staff already. We'll meet with them throughout the week. I don't want to be a distraction to them while we're here, so kind of just behind the scenes, whenever they have a free minute, and even if it's at midnight when the meet's over, I'm available to them to meet. But eventually, we will meet with everybody. And just, some of them I know. I've known Lucas, Coach McKay for a while, but I want to get to really know everybody, and figure out who's a great fit and what the best fit for Arizona is moving forward. So that's kind of the plan here in the coming days and next week.
Okay, Chris, we
Well, I
will
had
forward
a
you a little ad here before we go further. Just if anyone has any questions about the search process itself, Desiree's here to field those inquiries as well. So, Chris, your question.
Hey, Andrew, welcome to Tucson.
Chris, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. You have a background as a thrower, and you talked about it during your time at UConn a little bit. Just curious, kind of, I mean, in all sports, right? Usually, coaches tend to sort of gravitate towards what they know in terms of being a little bit more hands-on in those areas. Do you see yourself kind of being more involved with the throwers? And then from there, just again, how you kind of balance, you mentioned it as well. It being an individual and team sport at the same time. So just kind of how you're going to balance both indoor and outdoor, and then all the different areas and kind of parts of your squad going forward.
Yeah, great question. I appreciate it, Chris. So when I first got to Virginia Tech, back in 2017, Dave Cinelli was just a director, did not coach an event area, just kind of managed the program and helped be supportive for all the assistants. And I had never seen that before, and I was kind of confused, like, how does this work? Usually head coaches coach an event area. I do, even today, I think there's maybe a handful of programs that operate that way. And what I learned in my time at Virginia Tech is, when you have a director that just is kind of managing and CEO running the program, it allows the coaches in the event areas to kind of just focus on the student athletes and coaching and recruiting and have a lot less ancillary responsibility. I enjoy the administrative side of the sport, kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I really enjoy that. So that's my vision, with how my role will be here at Arizona. And I just want to be as supportive as possible for our assistant coaches. And my door is going to be open. I told the student athletes in our team meeting on Monday that they can call me or text me 24 hours a day. I'm available. And several have reached out, dozens of them. And I've tried to get back to them first before anybody. So I'm big on communication. Excuse me. I want to be involved with the entire program. I love the sport as a whole. Yes, throws might be in my heart at first in my heart, just because of my background. But I know all the events. I love all the events. So we're going to have a well-rounded program, and I want to be there for all the student athletes. So I think with my role, just setting it up that way will allow those coaches to maximize what they're able to do with recruiting and with coaching their event areas.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bruce, Priscilla.
Well, just so Andrew, just to make it 100% clear, so you don't anticipate being the throws coach as well as the head coach of everything, or you anticipate hiring somebody else to do that? And I didn't, yeah. So
Correct. Excuse
just
me. Yes, that's correct, Bruce. I've talked with Coach McKay, and or excuse me, I've been talking a lot the last couple of days. But yeah, I've spoken with Coach McKay. So we've had some good conversations, and about how we might operate. And I look forward to the rest of that process. But yes, you're correct. I will. We will have a throws coach in addition to myself, that will focus on just the coaching side of things.
okay. And if Desiree, if you're still on there too, I was wondering, to speak to that, sometimes in the some sports, it's you go through a search firm or whatever. Track and field seems like, again, there's like a whole bunch of possibilities. Where did you start down that road, and was it a thing where you went through contacts, or did you use a firm, or anybody else you relied on in this process?
We did not use a firm. We had a great search committee. We had Coach Candrea, Will Wheeler, Rachel Blunt, and then we had two other of our staff members on the in the process, very similar to what we did with our women's basketball. We had Nikki Berry as well served on it, and then we like to have search processes. Some search processes is also a learning opportunity, and Victoria Castanon also served, and they provided great background checking. But what we did was we contacted our contacts in the industry. We didn't, like I said, we did not use a search firm. And you know, I had Dave Cinelli is someone I've known for a long time because of my tenure at Virginia Tech, and I hold him in very high regard. We used to call him the wizard because he would always figure out a way to win ACC championships and didn't have the biggest budget. Virginia, at the time, we did not have an indoor track facility like they do now, but he always won the ACC championship. And I loved watching how he would assemble a roster and come together with points. And I just thought it was a fascinating process. And I liked that modern model that he was that he had adapted at Virginia Tech. So I relied a lot on Coach Cinelli. Will Wheeler also worked with several national coaches, national colleagues. We reached out. We looked all over the country because we know the great bones that this track program has, and we know what our great history is. So we have worn out contacts and colleagues throughout the country and did a very comprehensive search, had a great pool of applicants and a great pool of coaches that we reached out to and recruited into the pool. But Andrew, Coach Dubs just rose to the top. There was one particular moment last week when he was speaking to our committee and he was sharing, I asked him about why he coached, and he was sharing a story about a student athlete. And I hope you don't mind, Andrew, but he started choking up a little bit and tearing up. And you could just tell in that moment how much he cared about student athletes. I also had the good fortune of, you know, I spent 3+ years in Blacksburg, Virginia. So I know a lot of the folks there. And so he would be surprised the number of people that we contacted about him in our background checking and someone say sleuthing.
All right, thanks. This is kind of for both of you guys too. What's your thoughts on just kind of the landscape of things with the House settlement going through? How does that affect track and field? And the one thing I was wondering about too is there's been some concern that down the road this eventually could affect our Olympic teams in this country because maybe there's going to be less funding for sports such as track and field, swimming, et cetera. You know, do you guys anticipate any challenges there, you know, long-term and short-term too, as far as funding changing, not necessarily at U of A, but maybe, you know, another at other universities that are, you know.
So I'm going to go ahead and take that first. And then Andrew, if you want to jump in after.
Sure.
With the House settlement, the House settlement provides clarity. It provides a level playing field, and it provides a pathway forward. I'm very optimistic about the future of college sports now that we have this, implementation process ongoing. You know, yesterday I gave a presentation on the House settlement implementation, or I was part of a panel that gave a presentation. And one message that we had for the audience was that this provides clarity, but now we have a responsibility to make sure that this works. College sports has been at a critical juncture, and now with this pathway, we have to all dive in and make this work because the enterprise is too important. Bruce, I think you may have been the person at my press conference, but I am not sure. So you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. But someone asked me, and I was brand new, so it was like a big old whirlwind. Andrew, you're probably going through it. But someone asked me if I was intending to cut sports. Was that you, Bruce? Who was that?
No, I don't think that was. But that was on, honestly, that was on everybody's mind at the time because the thought was that, you know, again, you might have to, if the industry standard is 75% of rev share to football and or 20% to men's basketball. What does that leave for everybody else? I don't know if that's the case. I know you don't want to, you haven't wanted to say the exact rev share, but I think in general, the thought was that more and more resources, because of this, more and more resources are going to go to men's basketball and football. Therefore, what is going to happen to these other sports? Yep. And I know you said you didn't want to cut, but I didn't know, like, could there be any challenges there?
No, and what we're, yes, there are challenges. There are so many challenges, but you know what? Anything worth doing is, it's not going to be easy. But no, we are not going to cut sports, and we have an incredible championship pedigree, and our Olympic sports are a source of pride. And that's, we are going to continue to be very good fiscal stewards. We're going to be disciplined in our approach, and we're going to be very aggressive in our revenue spaces. That is, I think that's something we've shared all along, and we're not going to stop. We're very pleased that Arizona Sports Enterprises actually achieved, I think it's 120% of their budgeted goal for to end this fiscal year, and we're not quite finished. Our development numbers are trending up, but we're looking, and as you know, we've talked about before, naming rights are on the table. We are going to be very aggressive in selling spaces, but balancing that responsibility we have to the championship brand that is the University of Arizona. So I'm really optimistic. We have a pathway forward. Sorry, I went on a tangent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Andrew, if you could speak to that, just wondering, I guess, yeah, and how you think both locally at U of A from what you understand, but also just kind of in general, do you think this landscape is different anyway going forward with House and everything that's going to be happening?
I think it's, sorry to cut you off there, Bruce. I think it's extremely different, even than it was Thursday. You know, like Desiree said, it's definitely going to provide clarity and parity. I think, you know, right now, well, before Friday last week, it was the wild, wild west in a sense, even in the sport of track and field, not to the level of football and basketball. But there is, I mean, there's programs out there that had a significant amount of NIL dollars that they were dispersing amongst their track and field athletes, significant at the track level. They were able to, you know, in recruiting really win some battles. And I think now with the settlement that it's going to create an opportunity where it's much more level of a playing field. You know, recruiting battles, I think, will be a lot more pure and genuine. As they were back, kind of back when they were before any of this became a topic. So, yeah, I'm thankful for the settlement, to be honest with you, in our sport, because it's going to just really allow it to be much more of a level playing field and a lot more parity.
And, you know, one thing, Bruce, that's also different with the settlement, and I think, and I don't pretend to have all the answers. This is still a work in progress, and it is going to be a constant evolution. But one thing that we are going, and Will Wheeler is on here, and I should have thanked him. He's worked tirelessly on this search, but he's also our CFO and a former track guy. We are going to look at every single dollar spent. And just because this is how we've always done it, isn't going to work anymore. There has to be a return on investment. And what doesn't change is educating and coaching and competing. So when a student athlete comes, you are coaching them and you're competing and you're graduating leaders. That does not change. But everything else in between, that it completely has changed. We have to look at this as the big business enterprise that we are, but with the purpose does not change. We are impacting young people's lives, and we are bringing together our community and representing our university. So that stays the same. It's just the how we're doing it. Every dollar that we are expending, we got to make sure that it's the right dollar expending, and we're getting the return on investment.
At the same time, so you're saying it sounds like you also want to grow the revenue specific to track and field with naming rights, et cetera. Is that right? Specific initiatives that you're
hoping? I was talking more along the lines of growing all of our naming rights. We have with McHale and with Arizona Stadium, and those are the first two priorities. But we are looking at like every single entranceway, every single portal. All of that is something that's on the table that we want to look. And one thing that we're also going to be aggressive in doing is endowing our Olympic sports. Every Olympic sport, we want to make sure that they they're set up for the future, and we can do that through an endowment. So that, and I was sharing with Clancy the other day, if for some reason I ever got hit by a bus, or Clancy did, that's a horrible analogy, I have to find a better way, but if for some reason, I want to always protect our Olympic sports, and we can do that through setting up endowments for each of them.
Yeah. So you guys feel confident locally. I'm wondering, again, does this whole question about down the road, does it affect the Olympic teams? Is that, do you see that possibly happening? Maybe because other schools aren't going to emphasize it as much because their football's deemed so much more important or whatever, you know, because it's an unusual system here in this country where colleges generally are developing the Olympic athletes. In other countries, they've got institutions or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, do you think there's a sea change ahead, or is it going to be the same, you know, once everybody adjusts?
I don't think we can completely predict the future. That house settlement is what, 4 days, days old, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. 5 days old. So there's so much that we don't know. I can only tell you how we're going to adapt to this at the University of Arizona, and we are going to be incredibly nimble and continue to adjust.
That's all good. Thank you.
Chris, one final question, and then we will throw it to Coach for a final comment.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason. This is a little more X's and O's question.
Yeah. The good Andrew, stuff, the fun stuff.
Yeah, hopefully. Can you just talk a little bit about your involvement as the head coach of USA Track and Field, kind of how that has made you a better collegiate coach, and how you plan to balance kind of the time leading Arizona as well as leading the national team?
Yeah, it's very different. With the World University Games, the protocols is that you're allowed 2 entries per gender per event. So we have a pretty balanced roster. Now, there were limits with the size of our entire roster, so we don't have athletes in every event. I believe we're going to have 31 men and 25 women. That's just kind of what we were given from the organizing committee of the World University Games. So the difference is that you're limited to just the 2 at the university games level. At the NCAA level, I mean, you could have 30 milers, 30 distance runners, 30 throwers. You can kind of do it however you want. To speak about how I'm looking to do it, I do want to have balance. I mean, there's going to be areas where we're going to invest a little bit more, but I do want to have athletes across the board. You know, I think the number one priority right now is turning around the cross country program and the distance program and really getting them up and running. I mean, you go back historically and look in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, and Arizona had very high level distance programs and cross country programs. So that's something that we want to get right. And especially because they start almost right after track and field ends, they get about a month off and then they're back to getting ready for cross country camp. So that's going to be a big priority there, is getting that moving in the right direction. The history of the throws at Arizona. I think at one point during the process, I was talking to Will and I said, as long as I'm standing, even if we build a stadium and move the track, whatever, we're going to dig out the shot put ring and put that one in the new stadium. Cause that shot put ring is probably the most historic ring in the world. I think at one point it had the most 70-foot throws ever in out of that circle. So the history of the throws has been phenomenal at Arizona, and we're always going to have a great throws program. Not just because I'm a throws guy, but the combination of me being a throws guy and the history of the program. So we're going to keep that. I really believe that you have to end every competition with a really competitive and fierce 4x4. Every meet, the 4x4 relay is the last event, and we want to be the last team on the track, so to speak. So, and with that event group, you can have a really diverse sprints program because everything can bleed off of the 4x4, the 400, the 200, the 400 hurdles. You can really put a competitive 4x1 together off of a 4x4. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to be really competitive in the power events, in the jumps. So we're going to invest across the board. I'm still learning how the scholarships are set up now and how we can move forward here, especially in the short term. And then over the next few years, as things level out, we can really start to attack it and build it in that exact direction. But cross country and distance will be number one, and then we'll work down from there.
All right, Coach, final thought.
Well, I just want to thank everybody. This has been an incredible experience throughout this process, these last 48 hours from when Desiree called me on Sunday night and offered me the job. I think it was the fastest negotiation in the history of negotiations. I was so excited all the way to meeting the team yesterday and then getting on a plane, on Monday. I don't even know what day it is. Monday meeting the team and then getting on a plane 6 a.m. yesterday to get out here and join the team. So I'm beyond pumped. I've never been more excited in my entire career than I am right now to be an Arizona Wildcat. And I just want to thank everybody from Desiree and Will across the board and Coach Harvey. And I'm just really excited to be here and get rolling and cheer on our team this week. The competition starts today, so I'm ready to go.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much. And thanks everyone else for joining us this morning. And we'll see you down the road.
Hey, Jason, I think Bruce had one question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry if I missed this, but I just want to follow up, just make sure I'm 100% clear. Are you involved with the world, going to be involved with the World University Games this summer still? And is that any kind of conflict? If so, or like, how do you manage that time-wise?
We are going to Dusseldorf. Well, it's just like right outside of Dusseldorf, Germany. The competition is July 21 through 27. I believe we're going to leave on the 17th and come back on the 28th. And on the 29th, it's 100% Arizona. But even in the meantime, prior to that, we're going to evaluate the staff. We're going to evaluate the roster. We're going to get some pieces in place, and then we're going to hit the ground running. And even when I'm over there, I'm sure I'll be still talking to athletes and recruits and the staff. So, yeah.
Cool. That's what I thought. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we're going to have two national team coaches, you and Tom. There you go. All right. Thank you.